everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
The Mavericks just had their very first regular season game. They beat the Wizards 108-100. The game was actually not that close. They were up by as much as 20 for a lot of it. And it was a fun game, so we're going to spend the first few minutes just kind of gushing, and then we'll go over some important talking points. Like I said, it was just obviously amazing to see Porzingis and Luka. That goes without saying. It was a fun game, I'll say, aside from you suddenly rooting for the Wizards to make a comeback.
I didn't want it to be a 30-point game, because then we wouldn't see Luka and Porzingis in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there was a few minutes where you were actively
cheering for the Wizards,
rooting for them to make a comeback.
Of course, it started making me a little nervous. Like, I never thought that the Wizards were going to come back. But yeah, like when it made it like an 8-point game or something, I was like, okay, all right, fun's over. Let's just end this game.
Yeah. So Porzingis did come back in. Luka came back in. So you were happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
You got to see it. Porzingis ended up playing 29 minutes. Luka ended up playing 34 minutes. Luka was just, I mean, it's
especially
just
in that second quarter.
Yeah. It's just so easy to him. It's so easy. He was torching them with three-pointers, driving it, pump fakes. I mean, he is amazing. And the cool thing is that he plays for the Mavericks. He's like that guy, like, you know, Curry or Durant or Harden. And I don't know, maybe not at that level yet. He doesn't have those accolades, but he's that kind of guy. And he plays for the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And it's so awesome to watch him play. So yeah, we're going to go through the game, but overall it was fun to see Luka and Porzingis play. Martin, what was the highlight of the game for you?
Well, I don't know. Well, the highlight, I think, was the Porzingis alley-oop from Jalen.
Oh, yeah. Finally, with 1 minute left in the game.
And I thought Porzingis played okay. He didn't shoot too well, 7 for 16.
But he was 3 for 7 on threes.
Yeah, and that's close to 44%.
It's
so that's actually not that bad. So.
Yeah.
Porzingis played well. There was a couple of times throughout the game where I think he was lost a little bit, getting lost on offense. Mm. But then he would find his way back in. He's not like some players who once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
You can't bring him back to reality.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Jalen and Dorian closed the game. Mm. It wasn't DeLon.
Well, and first of all, we're not even talking about the obvious talking point that Courtney Lee started.
Yes.
Which I think is just so bizarre.
Heard it here first.
We did talk because Courtney Lee started in one of the preseason games, and you were talking about how you wouldn't mind if he started. And I internally was like, that's crazy talk, but you know, I'll go along with it because moral support. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I mean, he's a solid veteran, but I don't know if that's going to happen again, but he got the start tonight. And I mean, he wasn't bad. I think he played well, played good defense, made some shots. I don't think it was any worse than if, you know, Finney Smith or Justin Jackson started.
I mean, Finney Smith closed the game. So even if he doesn't start, I guess he's going to close.
Probably for defense,
I guess. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. You know, you never know with Carlisle. That could have just been this game and the way it went. So
yeah, and even the starting lineup could have just been matchups.
Yeah, so you never know. And Jalen finished the game. I actually think that's probably going to be a regular occurrence because it does alleviate some of the pressure off Luka to be, especially in this game, you saw where Beal was basically
going at him.
Yeah, all over Luka. Jalen was able to come down. But the Mavericks really struggled during that time period when Luka couldn't generate the offense. They didn't score for a long time.
I do think part of that might have been that the game was like essentially over, so they're just not as engaged.
And they lost their cool. It just got ugly.
I wouldn't say it got ugly. I mean, it got a little chippy because Beal decided to try to punk everyone. But yeah, I mean, having Brunson out there helped because I don't think Luka had any real need to show up Beal. I think he was perfectly fine with like, you know what, you guys handle this. I don't feel like messing with
Beal.
Well,
and Luka was just like that. The second quarter and really the third quarter, he was just unstoppable. I mean, he got to the rim whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
He'd get his shot whenever he wanted. Now, it could be because the Wizards suck and provide zero resistance defensively. But either way, the Mavericks have a guy.
Yeah, they got a win.
Yeah, I mean, they got a win. Yeah. Their two guys played well. They combined for 57 points.
You said in our last episode that they would have to get at least 50 points for the Mavs to win consistently.
Yeah, and if it's Luka averaging 34 on the season and winning MVP, then fine. And, you know, what is the MVP chance?
Like, I know.
Mavs fans are just obsessed with Luka. Like,
well, because he's so good. Yeah,
we got the LeBron,
we
the
got
Kobe.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dirt. Oh.
No. Not quite yet. But yeah, no, it was awesome to watch. I do kind of want to talk about the Bradley Beal thing, because we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, how I had noticed some players, one thing that Luka doesn't like is when players knock the ball out of his hands after a whistle. And I said, I think players might do things like that to try to get under his skin this year. And he's going to have to learn to just not react to it, which he did a fine job of. But I think that this whole Beal thing shows that that is going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't really believe it the first time you said it, that we would see it. But after seeing this game, you realize they don't have any other way of stopping him.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they like having him show them up. Yeah. He's a
and
young
some of his step
guy.
Back and his step backs are just nasty.
They're so nasty. Yeah, yeah, they're so mean.
And it's just like, why are you doing that to me, man? Yeah. I'm just trying to guard you.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. And I think guys don't like that. And so like Beal, it was a blowout. This was not about winning the game. I think it was exactly what I was saying, that players are just going to try to do that because it's all they can do.
He was putting on a show. And and he had that one layup where he left his arm up for a while.
He just knew. He was on fire. Yeah. And he'll have some games where those crazy three-pointers don't go in. Mm-hmm. But tonight they did. And then, with Beal, I think, you know, he's going to have to learn to not let it get to him. And I don't think he does let it get to him too much.
Well, he gets frustrated.
Yeah.
And but I saw in this game, I think it clicked in his head. Like, right when we were talking about it, it clicked in his head at the same time, coincidentally. Okay, this is what they're going to do. And then you saw him just calm down, and then boom, he was done with it.
Yeah.
And I think going forward, I think he's gonna be able to sense it as soon as the other team starts to do it, and he's just going to move on.
Yeah, he was at a certain point on offense, he wouldn't even try to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would just stand over on the three-point line and just let Brunson or whoever run the offense, because it was clear Beal was just going to be
the
in
pressure,
his grill.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know what? We're up by a lot. Mm-hmm. This doesn't matter. There's no need to make this bigger than it is. Like I said, he has no need to show up Beal. Yep. You know, he doesn't need that. So he was like, you know what? You guys just finish the game. I don't want to mess with this.
What did you see from Porzingis that really stood out to you?
So I thought he played well, but I do think, you know, when I was making my predictions for what he's going to do this year, one thing that I made a note of is that his shooting percentages probably will drop a bit. And they did. Like, he missed his first few shots, and he had some other shots that just didn't go in that I think normally would go in. He actually finished the game, though, like you said,
44%, which is what he averaged last
year. Yeah, 43.7. So towards the end of it, he kind of picked it up. And so I wonder, like, when I was making my projections, I wondered, his shooting will take a drop, but will that just be for a game or two, or, you know, a couple of weeks, or will that be the whole season?
I think with him, it looks like he's looking for his rhythm. He's looking for
his place.
He's
trying a lot of different things.
Yes, and how he fits. And so sometimes you see him just force a shot because, you know, he's just trying to get going and see where he kind of fits within the offense. And, you know, even with that, he was still effective with 23 points. The thing I noticed most was his defense. There were some times where he was great at rim protecting, and he didn't, I don't know if he recorded a block.
He had one block.
He did have one block, but other times he affected the player.
Yeah. Mostly just going straight up was enough.
But he struggled with the pick and roll, and it wasn't so much because he's not quick enough or whatever. He just was not getting the right angle when he was coming up on the pick and roll. He was either going too aggressively at the guy inside, so the guy went right around him on the outside, or he did too aggressive on the outside and the guy went in the inside. And so I think he's going to have to get that angling correct and the force of which he comes up. But he got burned a couple of times with that. And if he doesn't clean that up, then they would get torched. But I think it was just more of something that I noticed that he's got to clean up.
Just kind of learning his way around a little bit.
And I would like, I know he's never been a strong rebounder. I would like to see more than four. But I do think a lot of that, again, he's looking for his place. Yeah. Like he's, I feel like he's thinking the entire time and not just playing. Like he's trying to figure out, what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? Instead of just freely playing basketball.
So about the rebounding, when I was making my predictions, this is obviously one thing that I looked at. And in the preseason, he did really well. He had several games or a couple games of double-digit rebounds. But for his career, he actually averages 7.1 rebounds per game. So he's never been, you know, for being a 7'3 guy, he's never been a high rebound guy. So when I did my projections, I was like, I don't think he's going to continue this trend of like high rebound games, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. So I projected 9 rebounds per game. Tonight he had 4. So I'm kind of thinking like maybe he will actually regress back to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for what I've seen, he just sometimes looks confused, both offensively and defensively.
Interesting. And I never really see that.
I see it. And then, you know, when he's confused, he's not in position for either guarding the pick and roll or protecting the paint or getting the rebound because he's trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And it may not be confusion. It may just be the game speed. He has to readjust to the game, the speed of the game,
or
and remember.
Learning the system.
Yeah. So that to me, I think his rebounding, he'll be up around 7-8.
His career average, probably.
I don't think he's going to be as low as it was tonight. But, you know, the Mavericks have, like, Luka's an excellent rebounder.
Yeah.
And he just goes after it, and he knows where the ball is going to go.
Yeah.
Dorian played pretty well tonight. He had that 1-3 where it's like, dude, you're not Steph or Seth.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was, but he played well. And again, you saw Carlisle, he just loves Dorian. And Dorian got the close of the game.
Yeah, so my projection for Porzingis, what I wrote in that article was 32 minutes a game, 19 points, 9 rebounds, a block and a half, 42% shooting, and 35% shooting from the three-point line. Tonight he played 29 minutes. Now, it was a blowout, so it's kind of hard to know if what he'll actually play.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 23 points. That's more than I projected. 4 rebounds. That's less than the 9 I projected. He had 1 block. And he shot over 42%, which is what I guess. He shot 43.7% and 43% on threes, which I think is really, that's kind of a relief. Because like I was saying in the beginning, he struggled shooting in the preseason, particularly on threes. I think he shot 28% on three-pointers in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So tonight for him to go 3-for-7, that to me, like everything else, I think you can work on it and it's fine. But the shooting has to be there in order for him to be that impact player. So that was comforting to see.
And I think because he's going to be shooting so many more threes, that his overall field goal percentage is not going to be higher than 45.
Yeah.
Unless he's shooting 45% from three.
True.
Just because of the amount of threes. Like Doncic, you know, he's got to get his field goal percentage up around 45, I think, and his 3-point percentage around 35-36%.
Who, Doncic?
Yeah.
But I mean, likewise, he's 12 for 19 tonight.
Well, tonight he was unstoppable.
But this was
He's not going to go 12 for 19. What do you think of DeLon Wright? He played 21 minutes. He had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists.
So DeLon Wright is a player that I don't know a lot about. Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen a lot of him play. I mean, all of the NBA hasn't seen a lot of him play. So I'm kind of figuring him out as everything goes along. In the beginning of the preseason, I wasn't really like high on him because he wasn't doing anything. But the last couple games, he was really more aggressive and I thought became a really important part of the offense just in terms of getting the ball moving and running the offense. And I think that played out also in this game. He was actually a part of the offense. Now, like, do I think he made an impact offensively? Probably not so much, not in the way that you would think. He didn't score a lot. Yeah. He did have that 1-3 that he took, nailed it. I thought that was important for him to take it and also to make it. But really, what I'm focusing more on with DeLon is his defense. Like, yeah. I talked about this yeah. with when we were saying the five things that have to happen for the Mavs to make the playoffs. One of them was that he has to be that defender that, you know, that they want him or that they need him to be.
Yeah.
And tonight, sorry, one more point. Tonight, Bradley Beal went, what, 7 for 25? Now, DeLon wasn't on him the entire time. I think it was more of a team effort, but he did seem to play good defense when he was on him.
Yeah, I think you saw what you're going to get from DeLon.
Yeah.
And I think if, depending on the matchups, you might see DeLon closing a game. If let's say, for example, on Sunday, we are going against CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
I got to believe that you'll probably see DeLon out there. Even maybe Jaylen's still out there, and it's just not Dorian or somebody because of his DeLon can guard the point guard or CJ McCollum. So we'll see, you know. But I don't know. I want it to work out. I want DeLon to be the guy that the Mavs hyped him up to be.
Yeah.
But I think Jaylen's just kind of just on another level.
Jaylen is so good.
Yeah. And Jaylen didn't even play that well tonight, but you can just tell he's got game. He's got skill.
It's funny because he actually does play a lot like Barea.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He
uses his size.
Yeah. He's very crafty, and I noticed this with fan bases. Anytime the team has like a franchise all-time great team, or they have a team that wins a championship, from that point on, they always compare every player that the team gets to a player from that championship team. Every team does that. And so Mavs are no different. Like, we always compare different players to the championship team.
It takes like 10 years for that to finally go away.
Yeah, even though, like, there's so many different versions of a championship team. But it's funny that the whole long part of that was that Brunson is actually a lot like Barea. Mm-hmm. And so with Barea getting older, he didn't play a single minute tonight.
Yeah, that's another topic
Brunson
for discussion.
Kind of takes that. He kind of takes over that role. Yeah, so you were talking the other day about the depth that they have. Like, for all the depth that they lack, they have a lot of depth at guard. Mm-hmm. And you were like, who's going to be the odd man out?
I was surprised it was JJ tonight.
Were you sad?
A little bit, yeah, you know, because I love JJ. Who doesn't? I mean, he's a fan favorite. But I understand because you do have Jaylen, and Jaylen is 23 years old.
And you have Curry, who also played well tonight.
Yeah, Curry had 9 points, and he was 1 for 2 for 3. So, but he came in and did exactly what you want him to do.
Yeah.
Just make a three, make the right pit passes. So
yeah, their bench played really well. They outscored the Wizards bench by a wide margin.
They did have a lot of turnovers tonight at 19.
But the travel calls.
Yes.
How many of those were travels?
Probably 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah.
So Luka had 6 turnovers, but he had one of those bogus, actually two travel calls that weren't travels.
Maybe
I think.
Even more. I know he had at least two.
And then that
two,
offensive foul they called at the end of the game where he was dribbling and then Bradley Beal just crumbled.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, really? I mean, so I don't know if I even care that much about Luka's turnovers because he handles the ball so much.
He's so good.
I mean,
in
Steve
other
Nash
ways.
Averaged like 4 turnovers a game. It's just when you're a player like him that has the ball so much, you're just going to have turnovers.
Well, not to mention the traveling calls. I think
they
everybody's
call over
turnovers
and over
are going to go up.
Again. Another thing I was looking for tonight was a 3-point percentage as a team because they're going to be shooting so many threes. And, you know, Luka and Porzingis shot well, obviously, from three-point land.
Yeah, DeLon Wright made the only three he shot.
But, yeah, and as a team, though, they only shot 30.6%. So,
yeah, I'll say part of that is Hardaway went 0 for 5 on threes, and Courtney Lee went 0 for 3. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse, mm-hmm. like this is never going to happen again, because I think it's likely that that does happen again. So
it's just something to watch, you know, like there's a reason why they wanted Danny Green.
Yeah.
Because of his,
they want to shoot three.
They wanted Danny Green and Seth Curry because a 3-point shooting. So,
well, and that was one thing I said in a few episodes ago was like, they have this emphasis on shooting 3-pointers, but I don't know if they have the personnel for it. So I'm concerned with like, we're shooting a bunch of threes, but I don't know if they have the guys.
But you know, Tim Hardaway could go 0-for-5 from mid range.
Yeah.
You
know, well, so and the next night, like you said, he could go off.
Yeah. For 25 points.
That
kind
of player.
We'll see. I mean, it's just the first game. So, and I thought the team also started off very slowly.
Oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
They also didn't finish very slowly, which is funny because the motto for the season is finish strong or start fast, finish strong.
Oh, really?
And we started slow, finished weak in this game. But, yeah, but the second and third quarter, we dominated, and Luka was unstoppable.
Yeah, it was a fun game, and you know, again, the Wizards are not a great team. So I said during the game, I thank the NBA schedule makers for giving this as the Mavs their first game, so that they can kind of build some confidence.
Yeah, and I also don't want to take away from the win. Like Carlisle said, you know, they won the game.
Yeah.
And that's good because they haven't won their home opener very often.
Yeah.
And they won. So, yeah, they have a lot of things to work on. And, yeah, maybe the opponent isn't that good. But the fact is they won the game. And last year, you know, they could have easily lost this game. Yeah. They did lose a lot of these games against really inferior opponents. Yeah.
Well, and it reminds me of a quote from the Celtics game when we were listening to it. Brad Stevens said that the first few games are really just opportunities to gather data.
Yeah.
Or data, depending on how you say it. So it's games like these where, like, yeah, it's not a high-level opponent. And there's some things that didn't go well, and there's some things that went really well. I think the sample size is obviously too small to make any decisions. So for now, you're kind of just, you're doing things and you're noticing things. And after 10, 15 games, or maybe 5 games, depending on how, you know, strong the trend is, then you can kind of see like, okay, we need to work on this. But for tonight, I mean, Luka played well. I think you can rely on that happening. Porzingis shot the ball pretty well. Hopefully that continues.
I think it will. I think your concern about the field goal percentage is legit from guys that come back from a torn ACL.
Yeah, I mean, it's just data.
But the difference is this is technically like his second year after the ACL injury. And if you look at the data from the guys in their second year after the ACL, they were fine. They were back to their normal selves.
The only thing I would say to that is what was I going to say to that? Okay, yeah. So were they...
Good point.
Yes. Were they better their second year because of the length of time that had passed since the injury? Or were they better their second year because of the amount of time they had been playing basketball again?
Yeah, I don't think the amount of time being away really has an impact on these players.
Well, but to your point, you said that this is technically his second year back because he rehabbed for longer.
Yes, and so my point is it's the confidence in the knee and the mindset with, you know, knowing that you can move around, you can shoot. And I think when you come back from a torn ACL quickly, maybe they don't get re-injured, but, you know, every time they jump, and like us, when we watch Porzingis, every time he falls to the ground, we're like, get up, get up, get up, you know? So I think when you come back sooner than a 2-year span and you don't have that time frame in between, you're always worried. I think you're always thinking about it. And I think the proof is in the fact that everybody's numbers go down their first year back. So the second season, though, when they've ran on their knee for a while, they feel more confident. I think he's had enough time where he's played on his knee in pickup games or scrimmages or practice and preseason that I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. So, well, I hope so. I mean, he shot it really well tonight despite really struggling in preseason. So I hope that this trend continues.
One interesting thing, and I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place.
That's all right. You just go, man.
Okay.
Just
let's not make it weird. One interesting thing I thought, or that Carlisle said in his postgame comments about Courtney Lee starting, and he said how they came to that decision was they looked at a lot of film between, I guess, Dorian.
Courtney Lee.
Courtney Lee.
And Beal specifically.
Yes. And how they guard Beal and mm-hmm. how they do on Beal. And because Courtney Lee was the better defender against Beal, he got the start. So yeah. I wonder if like the next game they look at the same film
yeah.
and whoever's the better defender against that guy, that one dude, that guy's going to start that night. Yeah. So I wonder if that's an interesting thing that they're going to start doing. Because they said that that fifth starter is going to be a fluid position.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense because we've all been talking about who is a fifth starter. And maybe it doesn't need to be a solid guy. They'll just pick whoever is best mm-hmm. depending on the matchups. I think ideally it is a solid guy. Yeah. Like I think if you don't have...
If they were good enough, then
you would know who your mm-hmm. fifth starter is. But if they want to do it this way, just depending on the matchups, that's
and
fine.
The person that closes the game is really going to be the matchups of that game. You know, so Jaylen finished the game tonight, but there's no guarantee he's going to finish the game every night. It just kind of depends how the team's playing, who's playing well, and the matchups.
Yeah. But it was a fun game. Anything that really concerns you that you're like, oh my God, they need to fix that, or...
They're shooting.
Yeah.
They're shooting outside of Luka. And I'm not worried about Curry. I'm not worried about Brunson. I mean, Brunson shot 40% from three as a rookie.
Yeah.
But I am concerned about Dorian and Tim Hardaway and DeLon. Even though DeLon hit his three tonight, and historically he's had seasons where he was in the high 30s. So maybe mm-hmm. that's not a biggest concern. But if Dorian's going to be getting a lot of minutes... And Tim Hardaway is going to be getting a lot of minutes. They got to make threes. They got to make their shots.
Yeah.
And that's my concern.
Well, and I would take it even further and say they have to take the open
threes
they have.
They had some tonight that they left out.
There. Yeah. And I was saying this during the game, like for a team that emphasizes the three so much, they sure do pass up a lot of threes or they hesitate on them. And then when they hesitate and then take it, it doesn't go in because you got to shoot the first one.
They did what they were doing early on in preseason.
Yeah,
and then you saw against the Clippers, they stopped doing that.
Yeah.
They were more decisive with their movements. So.
Yeah, like Luka finished the game with three assists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if these guys had shot these wide open threes they had or didn't hesitate before shooting, he could have had... 5, 6, 7 assists, but they would get wide open threes and they would just not shoot it, or they would hesitate and then shoot it and it would miss. And it's, you know, that was, I said this, you know, in the episode you're talking about, it's like, it's so weird to me because I know that they've emphasized threes, but for some reason guys just don't want to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense, you know, and really like Luka, the offense creates good shots. It creates these open threes. You just, you got to take them.
And you know, when Carlisle shows him the film,
true,
he's going to be like, you know, these are the shots that you got to take. These are the ones you don't take.
Yeah.
And they're taking the ones that he doesn't want them to take, which is hesitant.
It's contested, and it's hesitant.
A mid-range.
Yeah.
You know, or they're driving it into four guys of traffic. They passed up a wide open three. So we'll see how the three-point shooting goes, but it wasn't good that, you know, of course, it's the first game of the season.
It's the first game, but, you know,
and the team started off slow.
We're reacting to this game,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's all it is.
Yeah, and I think Luka's assist numbers, you know, before the season, I was projecting that he was going to average, like, close to double-digit assists, if not more. But he scores the ball so well that I just don't know if he'll be that high on assists. Because he can get his shot.
Yeah.
You know, he it's not like LeBron, and that's the comparison that he gets the most because he's 6'7", you know, however much he weighs. But the difference between him and LeBron is that Luka's got the jumper. He can shoot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's better at scoring. And I know people are going to flip out about it. I'm not saying LeBron's an all-time great. Don't get me wrong. But how many all-time highlights do you see? With Michael Jordan, all the commercials you see of his all-time great shots.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, 10 of them that you can count off right off the top of your head. How many LeBron have? None.
No. He's not a pure shooter.
Right. He's got that block.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
against Golden State.
Well, the chase down block is like his thing.
But that shot, the shot was made by Kyrie.
Yeah.
Or Dwayne Wade or Ray Allen or Chris Bosh, you know, in game 3 against the Mavs. So... he doesn't have very many of those. And at Luka, the difference between them two is that Luka's going to have those shots.
Yeah. So long story short, his assists won't be as high as you maybe thought they would.
Oh, he's
be.
Averaging a triple double.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he did score 34 tonight, and you said
him to get 40.
Well, yeah. You did say that he was going to average, what, like 27 points a game. And I thought that was completely outrageous. I don't think he's going to do 34, obviously, but I don't know. I mean, he had 20 points at halftime. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, maybe it's not.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, he was feeling it in that second
and he
quarter.
Made a lot of his threes that he sometimes doesn't make.
Yeah, 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 he was feeling it. So he's not going to shoot 50% from three on the season. Or 65% from the field. So, yeah, he's not going to have every night like that. But I do think, like, he didn't get to the free throw line much tonight. And that's a lot of it because...
He was 6-for-8.
Oh, well, I guess he still got their... He's so good. I mean, it's ridiculous
it
how good the guy
so
is.
It just looks so easy.
So, yeah, I think 27, 28 points a game is where he's going to be at.
Yeah. Okay, next game is Friday night against the Pelicans.
The Pelicans.
Noah Zion Williamson. I feel bad for ESPN because
Well, that's their own stupid fault. You know, they put Zion in all 82 games of the season are freaking...
So yeah, no Zion, but you know they played well in their first game. I don't remember who did they play.
Toronto.
Yeah, that's right. They played well. That game went into overtime, and they had it, you know, right till the last couple of minutes. And so they play tough, and I don't think that it'll be like they'll be a pushover team. But
I do. I think they're gonna play tough, but I think they're gonna lose a lot because they don't really have a go-to guy.
Drew Holiday is their go-to.
Yeah, well, that's my point. You know, like, with all due respect to Drew Holiday, whenever he was the number one guy on his team, the team wasn't very good.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm predicting a win in that game.
Yeah, it would be nice to go into New Orleans, get a winning record on the road for once. We haven't had that in 20 years.
It's the Pelicans home opener. So you were talking about how that's going to be tough.
It's tough, but at the same time, it juices up the opponent a little because they want to ruin their home opener.
Well, and the team is only so good. Like, all of that adrenaline and stuff, that usually only carries you for, like, the first quarter, maybe. So at some point, the Mavs, they're either going to be better than the Pelicans or not.
Yeah.
At least at this point in the season. So, yeah, I'm predicting a win. But we'll be watching that, and then we'll have an episode afterwards to do a recap and share our thoughts. But that's pretty much it. Send us a message on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast or me on Twitter at _ Sydney Myers. Let us know your favorite moments of the game. What do you think about the shooting or about Luka? I mean, him getting MVP chance, that was pretty freaking awesome. Yeah. And then the starting lineup, how do you think that's going to change from game to game? Who do you predict starting against the Pelicans? Let us know about that. Remember, you can listen to new episodes on DallasHoopsCast.com. I think that's it. It was a fun game. It was really fun. I liked it.
I'm so sleepy.
Well, okay. All right. That's all for this episode. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.